Praise the Lord. God bless you for being here with us for our Friday night podcast. We're going to be getting into Remnant Talk this evening, and I pray the Holy Spirit brings enlightenment into everyone's heart to get us closer to what God's purpose is for our lives as being the remnant. I've got my wife Julie here, and we're here in the studio here at the City on a Hill. And if you're a part of the City on a Hill, you know this. If you are not a part of the City on the Hill, then you probably don't know. But we are in a season of prayer right now. And there comes those times when God asks his people to be extraordinary, which is literally extraordinary. And that is one of those times for us right now. We are in what we consider to be an extraordinary time of prayer. Hopefully, as a Christian, you pray. But then there comes those times where God says, I want you to be extraordinary for me, because I want you to show your faith, because faith brings the supernatural. And so we are in an extraordinary time of prayer here between our Pentecost, which was a couple of weeks ago, and our Sacred Assembly, which is in the fall. It's quite a ways away. But during this period, we are in a time of prayer, an extraordinary time of prayer, because there are things that, number one, we want God to do. Number two, there are things that God wants to do. And we want all those things not to in any way have anything that would hinder them, because we're not praying. And so I ask you to join us in this, and if you... You can be here Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. We do not start our services during this time the same way. We are starting our services at the altar, calling upon the Lord before we do anything else to show the Lord we are taking our season of prayer seriously. So join us at the altar, 11 o'clock Sunday morning, and I believe you'll be able to see and tell that God is doing something special. So praise the Lord. So we'll just jump into some things. The last 2 weeks, if you weren't able to watch the last 2 weeks with the talk about remnant parenting and being remnant husband, young couples, husbands and wives, what God expects and how we're to live, the last 2 weeks were fantastic. You need to go back and watch the young couples we had on here and what they talked about and raising young children, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Yes,
so fantastic. I thought about just letting them just come on here and just say, hey, you guys just do it. You're doing fantastic on the podcast. And we'll get them back on here really soon to talk about some other things, because I believe they really struck a chord with people. So if you weren't able to watch them, then go back and you can go watch all the past podcasts at any time on all of our platforms. Watch it, share it, and I believe the Lord will bless you for it. But as you know, the way I like to do things, you know, everybody around here, they're always like, okay, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? And they know not to really bother me with it until the morning of, because I really don't like to plan things. I just like to get up and just let the Holy Spirit talk and use us. And so it's kind of gotten to where we don't even talk about it the morning of. We just kind of sit down and Julie sometimes will say, hey, what about this? And I say, let's just get on there and just start talking. And so that really is happening again this morning. So as I was literally pulling up to walk into the room here to sit down and get started, the Lord gave me a scripture that I want to read to you. I sat down and pulled it up on my iPad, and literally this is just, you talk about hot off the press, as they used to say. This is hot off the press you can get. God just gave me this scripture, but I hope it spurs us to talk a little bit. And this is found in Psalm chapter 50. And this is a psalm where I actually believe that if in your Bible it might even say the title, it says God is judge, or God acting as judge, or something like that. And God is talking to his people. You know, I've always said God always has a remnant. Always has a remnant. And this is God talking to his people back when the book of Psalms was written. And it actually is the format of a court case. And it is the format of God's, all right, I'm the judge. Here's the court case. I'm laying out before you things that I to prove my case. And he has his people sitting there listening to God setting his case. And God really touched my heart, gave me the scripture. Now, I want you to listen to what it says. I'm going to read one verse, but I ask you to go read the entire chapter, Psalm chapter 50, because, again, I'm going to be reading actually the NIV version because it really explains it in the way for this morning I want. But whatever version you're reading, understand this is like this is God as judge, and he's laying out a case here. And in verse 21, this is what it culminates in saying. God says, "When you did these things, and I kept silent, you thought I was exactly like you, but I now arraign you and set my accusations before you." Now, say, why did you read that for? Well, because that really speaks to the place the church is at right now. As you can see the sign behind me, the purpose of this ministry here is to awaken and get the attention of the remnant all over the world, to get their attention. And we're really just getting started with this, and we're going to need the Lord to help us do what he wants us to do. But in today's church world, we have absolutely gotten to a place where the entirety of the church, with whatever it is they believe, and it's might be different all over, but with whatever it is they believe, they say, well, God has kept silent, or at least they think God has kept silent. And so that must mean that he agrees with us. God hasn't done anything to change us, so that must mean God must agree with what we're doing. That's the way Israel was at that time, is that they said, well, we're living a certain way, and God's not done anything, so that must mean he agrees with us. He's like us. He thinks the way we do. And it's the same thing that's happening in the church world today. And, you know, the Lord recently has been really pounding here at the City on the Hill, because this is a prophetic ministry. But he's been pounding that the day is coming. The Bible talks about the day. The day is coming, and there are things that are going to happen. And the time to prepare is before the day of trouble. The Bible says the time to call upon the Lord is not when the trouble comes, it's before the day of trouble. And the remnant is that group of people, however small it might be, it is that group of people that just says, God, we're going to prepare before that day comes. Again, I say it, however small that group might be, I keep going back to many are called, few are chosen. And the remnant is that group that says, we understand that just because God is silent, that just because, and again, when I say silent, I mean that's what they think. Just because God hasn't stepped in and changed something, that doesn't mean that he's changed how he does things. That doesn't mean that his word and how he's done things for thousands of years has all of a sudden changed. It means God is giving room for the remnant to grow, as he always has. He's giving room for people to repent. He's giving room for people to change their ways. He's giving room for ministry like us to speak his word, and because there has to be a witness. There always has to be a witness. And right now, there's not much of a witness against his people. Now, that's a term that most people don't understand, but this is God witnessing against his people. God has no reason to witness against the world. The world is the world. They're not in his kingdom. He has no the only thing that the world needs to hear is that you need to be saved because that's your only hope. But God is witnessing against his people.
Right.
A great example of this, a great example is go read the second, third chapters of Revelation. Go read where Jesus talks to the seven churches. That was Jesus coming as the Son of God and saying to them, I am here to testify against you, the churches, to say to you, this is what I have against you. And now people don't like that term, but that's literally what Jesus said. He said, this is what I have against you. You're not doing what you should be doing. But God gives time for things to manifest. But then there comes that moment where finally he sends his word. He says, okay, I'm ready to testify now. And Jesus said to the churches, go look what he said to at least some of the churches. He said, if you don't repent, now this is not to the world, this is to the church. If you don't repent, he says, I'm going to remove your lampstand. I'm going to take it away. Why? Because it came a point where God said, enough is enough. Enough is enough, and this is what I have against you, my church. I've got to keep my church pure. I've got to keep my church holy. I've got to keep my church in purity. And he says, I've let you go long enough. This is your chance. Repent, or else I'm going to remove your lampstand. You have anything you want to add?
Well, while you were talking, it reminded me of this past Tuesday during our ladies' Bible study. We were talking about Brother A.W. Tozer, who wrote The Pursuit of God.
Yeah, you're
which
doing
is the book that
That's
we're
what
reading.
Book you're doing, yes.
he just kind of mentioned, and it really bore witness with me because I've thought about this often. He mentioned about how often the Lord uses things that seem to juxtapose each other.
Yes.
I guess paradoxes, if you would say that.
Yes.
That he uses, and I was thinking about that. That God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all those yes. omni words, and he's all knowing. But at the same time, he gives us room
yes.
to develop and to grow. And he's not a puppet master just doing his little puppets and controlling everything that we do or think. He gives us that room to do things and to live our lives and to choose him.
Well, that's a great point. And I could go down this rabbit hole, and I will for a moment only. But you know, I learned a long time ago that because we think God is like us, just what I just read, we think that it has
to
be.
Us.
We
gets
think
us
exactly, but we think that God has to choose one way or the other. But because he's God, he can do more than one thing at a time.
Right.
And he could, exactly like you said, he could have a plan that is exact to everything dotted and crossed a certain way. But at the same time, he says, all right, I want you because of your free will, I want you.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, it. The word of God is filled with these things. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you have truth. You have truth, which is unbending. Truth cannot bend. You cannot bend. Truth is what it is. On the other hand, you have mercy. God's mercy says, you know what? You don't deserve it, but because of my mercy, I'm still going to allow you into through the blood of Christ into my presence. And people choose one or the other. You have the truth, and then you have the mercy, and they never understand. No, God expects both of it. Mm-hmm. He expects the uncompromising truth, but he also expects there comes a time where there's mercy. There's both at the same time. And because we don't understand that God works like that, that that is how God does things, we choose one side or the other. And when you only choose one side or the other, then you're completely wrong. You can't choose one side. You end up being completely wrong, which is why there's, 500 different denominations of churches, because people choose one thing and don't understand. Yes. That's not how God operates. But taking that back to where we were, what we were talking about in the scripture I read, there comes a point where people have to be told, they have to be made to make a choice. And we've been talking a lot about that during our services.
Yes.
But people have to be made to make a choice. And whether it's Elijah on the mountain saying, hey, choose. He literally said, choose. He said, stop going back and forth. Choose. He was talking to God's people. Whether it is a scripture like this, what I was just reading, where God said, listen, I've been watching you, and you've think that I'm just like you, and you're sadly mistaken. Or whether it's Jesus coming in Revelation and saying to the churches, hey, you're going down the wrong path. You choose to come back to me. He even said, go back to your first love, to one of the churches. Mm-hmm. You choose to come back to me, or I'm snuffing out your lamp. The church, not the world, the church has to be made to make a choice. Mm-hmm. That is, I'm just going to say it because it's true. That's what my ministry is all about. It is all about making Christians make that choice. And it's difficult. It's difficult because the easy path, and listen, I'm saying this, I'm looking in the camera, and I'm saying this because I know people, there are people that have a heart for God, but it's not easy. Let me say to you, the easy path is just to be able to say, just keep doing the best you can. Just keep doing the best you can, and God understands. God loves you so much that he understands you're trying the best you can. Just keep doing the best, and it will all work out. That's easy to say.
Right.
But that's not what brings the remnant. Jesus didn't come to the churches in Revelation and say, hey, I know you're doing the best you can, so let's just, I'm proud of you. That's not what he said. He did have a couple of things. He said, you're doing this good. You're against the Nicolaitans. He said, but I have this against you. This is a problem I have with you, and you have to fix this. It's easy just to say everything's going to be okay, but at some point there has to be a ministry, which I believe God has always chosen this heritage. Most of you that watch us regularly know what this heritage has been about over the last 160, 70 years. God has always chosen this heritage to be the ones to stand up and say, you have to make a choice. That's what calling the remnant is all about. It's about making people make a choice. So in this scripture I read to you, God says, he says, when I kept silent, you thought I was just like you. You thought, oh, God's okay with what we're doing. But then there came a time where God says, I'm not going to keep silent anymore. And we're coming up on that time here in 2024. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next month. But it's coming. There's coming a time where God says, all right, I'm not going to keep silent anymore. And when God does that, he begins to speak. He begins to speak through his true anointed prophets, and he begins to give warning. And we get up here week after week giving warning. Some people get tired of it. A lot of people get tired of it. Why do you keep saying the same things? I've got to speak what God tells me to speak. And God says, give warning to my people that I'm not going to keep silent much longer, that the day is coming. It's coming where I'm going to arraign my people, as this scripture says. I'm going to arraign my people. And so, I don't know, Jane, anything you want to add about that before I moved a little bit?
No.
I kind of want to take what I just said and just very briefly, it's kind of the same thing, but just kind of maybe a little bit different area. One of the things that people, everyone at COA, everyone that watches COA, and all the remnant, and really all the church, they have to understand that there is a difference between, and this seems so obvious, I feel silly even saying it, but it's become an issue. There's a difference between how you talk to Christians and how you talk to non-Christians. And this is really, it really goes back to what we were just talking about. Just kind of a little bit of an offshoot, a tributary from it, though. The church has gotten to a place where we talk to everybody the same way. We talk to everybody the same way. Christians get the same message as non-Christians get. You know, Christians come to church and they expect, well, why aren't you talking to me like you are these worldly heathen people? Why aren't you talking to me all the time about God wants to forgive you and God wants to put his arm around you and pull you out of the miry clay, as the Bible says? And why aren't you talking to me like that? Because that's not what a Christian should be at. Hebrews says, it says you should move past the elementary things. It actually says you shouldn't be talking about salvations and forgiveness and baptisms and things. You shouldn't be talking about that anymore. And so we've gotten to this place in the church where we think we're doing a great job, because what we're really doing is the same message we're giving to sinners is the same message we're giving to Christians. And I want everyone to know that, because I really think, and I'm talking to everyone, but I'm speaking to the people that are close here, core people at the City on the Hill. I want you to always remember, we don't talk to people that are not serving God the same way. And in fact, as a church, we don't talk to non-Christians. You talk to non-Christians. When I'm out and about, I talk to non-Christians.
Right.
You should always be ministering the message and love of Christ to non-Christians.
That's our
all
personal,
the time.
Personal
all
ministry.
The time.
Yes, constant.
But as a church, we don't talk to non-Christians. And that has become an issue in the church world today. The church world runs its services to talk to non-Christians. Well, we need to be fishers of men. Well, not if you're a church. You go out and be fishers of men in your daily life.
That's right.
But the church, listen, the church is for, I won't say it's the number one thing, but it's right up there at least. The purpose of the church, at least in large part, is to worship God. Non-Christians can't worship God. They can't worship, you cannot worship God as a non-Christian. The Bible says to worship God, you have to do it in spirit and in truth. Non-Christians, it is impossible for them to do that. It is impossible. They might, because of the greatness of God, fall on their face before him, you know, because of the power of God. But you can't worship God if you're a non-Christian. Not in the way we're talking worship. And so, we as a church here, the City on a Hill, and I really should be able to say any church, it's not our job to speak to non-Christians. It's not. When they come in and there happens to be someone, I always want them to receive the salvation, always. But a salvation message here is rare. It's rare. Because that's not what we're called to come in and worship God and to be taught as the remnant what God wants us to do. And so, just like I started out where God said, he said, listen, I've been silent and you think it's because I'm agreeing with you. This is a part of it. God is getting to a place where God says, all right, I want to get back to what it's supposed to be like. It's supposed to be my people coming together to worship me, to be empowered, to see supernatural signs and wonders, to hear the word of God, the prophetic word of God, to hear it in an anointed place. And then you go out and you take the power of God with you and you minister to those people who do not know the Lord. But let it not be misunderstood. When I minister up here on Sundays and Wednesdays, when you hear ministry from the city on a hill, whoever it is, our ministry is to Christians. Our ministry is to the remnant. Our ministry is the message that Christ sent in the book of Revelation to those seven churches. It is, you've got to fix things in your life so that your lampstand is not snuffed out. Somebody has to be the ones that get up to God's people and say, as again in Hebrews it says, lest you fall short of the grace of God like Esau. Esau was a part of the holy family. He was a part of the holy seed, but he fell short. And somebody has got to get up and say that Jesus came in the book of Revelation. But now God says, where's my remnant prophetic people that are going to do it for me? And so, again, I say all of that to bring it back to this. First of all, to those people that watch, listen, and come and are part of the city on a hill, when you hear a certain message, that is why you hear that message. Because our job is not to get up and to open our arms wide and say, hey, you know, it's all going to be okay. I'm not saying there's never a time for that. But our purpose is to get up and to say, listen, God's not like us. He doesn't think like us. And we have to get in line with what he thinks and how he thinks, even if we don't understand it. Someone has to get up and do that. That's what our messages here at the City on a Hill are about. And I want you expecting that when you come. I want you expecting that's what it's about. That's who we are. That's why one day, God willing, we're going to build what we're going to call the House of Exaltation for God's remnant to come and to say, we have figured this out. We figured out what God wanted, and we're running with it. We're just in the infant stages of it right now, but by the power of God, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And I invite you to come and be a part of it. I invite you, if you have a heart for the remnant, if anything I said struck a chord it within you, if anything where I read from the Word of God where God says, listen, I'm not like you, but you thought I was silent because I was like you, if that struck a chord, then you need to come and visit us. And see what a prophetic people that is calling the remnant looks like. You have anything before we close?
Well, the whole time you were talking about that, it was running through my mind the scripture that says, build each other up on your most holy faith. About that, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing, you know, when we gather together inside a church building. And I was thinking, you know, who wrote that? And so I looked it up, and I just did not remember that it's in that little tiny book at the end of the New Testament, Jude, yeah. You know, and yeah. He said that, but he goes on, he didn't just say that, he also said, you know, build yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, and then he says, on some have compassion, making a distinction.
Yeah.
And that you know, making a distinction, you're talking about, you know, it's, you don't talk to everyone
yes,
the same.
That's right.
And he made that point also. Some, you know, making a distinction, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's
well, again, I hesitate to say this again, especially here at the closing of our podcast, But I feel compelled by the Holy Spirit because I believe it is the message of the hour. I really do. There is always, always time to speak the love of God.
Amen.
That's never
yes.
out of style.
Amen.
Never.
Mercy.
Never, 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 never.
Love and mercy and grace.
But there also is that time, and I go back to the scripture in 2 Corinthians from Wednesday night, where Paul talked about, he said, listen, I'm telling you these things because of the terror of the Lord. And it's, it, you know, you, whenever I even say that word, I feel it. I feel inside of me because I know how heavy that word is. And I know we as Christians don't like to hear that. But Paul was talking to Christians when he said that. And what he was basically saying is, he was telling them, he said, listen, you've gotten so fleshly and so natural, you've stopped looking at the unseen. And he said, because you've stopped looking at the unseen, you have forgotten that God is a God. And there is a terror that you have to always remember that, oh, our God is a consuming fire. You have to always be mindful of that. And we don't, I don't preach fear except for that godly fear of God. God, there is a holy, again, I know people say, please stop saying, oh, pastor, please, I can see the people running away right now. Don't say that word terror again. But remember, I am saying it, but Paul said it. Paul, everyone's is always saying to me, hey, you know, what did Paul say? Paul said that. And we've got to remember that there is that holy terror. And again, I know what people think when I say that word, but I have this inkling that if we understand God's love and the terror of God, then we'll really understand what God wants from us. Then we'll be able to say, I'm starting to figure out what the remnant's all about. It really goes back to what Julie said in the beginning, that God has two things. I actually Tozer from the book, The Pursuit of God, that God always has two things juxtaposed against each other. And I learned that a long time ago in studying the Word of God. But this is another one of those things. God's love, God's terror. You can't choose one or the other. They have to work together to keep us in line. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to close it for today. Remember, you can watch our services on all the different platforms. Go find City on the Hill Loganville on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all of it. And come visit us Sunday, 11 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. God bless you. Let's keep calling the remnant. We'll see you next time.